Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7, where we go through the Bible slowly, methodically, and try to explain a lot of the details in plain language, and a lot of the things that are between the lines. God said he hid things in this book, and it does his heart good that kings search it out. We might not be kings, but that just means the finest, even the finest people of the land, you know. It includes everyone, all the way from the bottom to the top, you know. Don't go home without reading this book multiple times, because every time you go through it, the Spirit will give you more of what's in here. A lot of things in this book you don't hear in church. Like, this is the second time around for mankind on this planet. And if you consider the totality of the Bible, what Jeremiah says about God flooding it the first time and putting out the sun, yes, those fossils are thousands, millions of years old. And yes, the Adamic line has only been here 8,000 or 9,000 years. Yeah, it ties it all together. But Satan doesn't want this book tied to science. If science can put doubt in people's minds, that's what he wants. You got to read the book for yourself. You know, the two accounts of the creation of mankind. On the sixth day, God created male and female and told them to replenish the earth because he had wiped it out eons earlier. And he even said in Jeremiah, I put the sun out, but I know in my wrath will one day cease and I will begin again. There's a lot of stuff in here. The first covenant was given to Abraham. And it was not the Ten Commandments, and care what Pastor Bob said. It was an everlasting covenant I give you, Abraham. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. How easy was that? How much freedom did they have? And you've seen Abraham and his and the first three patriarchs had a lot of freedom. And all they had to do was follow God with all their heart. And then their children that came out of Egypt proved to God that they could not do that, didn't want to do that. And too many shiny things in the world, and they wanted those too, along with him. Yeah, let's have both. Mm-hmm. And he laid the law on them like a good father as a punishment. You know, now it was so easy before. Now you're going to have to do all these things with your hands. Try to keep yourself holy. But we see it's impossible. And Christ was the only one that was able to keep the law. And even he was not under the law. He was under the first covenant because he worked on the Sabbath. And it proves, and it says in here so many times, to obey is better than sacrifice. That means if you obey with your heart, the law never applied to you as it really never applied to Christ. So they were able to falsely accuse him of breaking the law by working on the Sabbath and give him a death sentence, which kind of caught Satan off guard because he thought he was following the law and able to kill this man righteously, like he'd been placed in charge of death.
You imagine how excited he got whenever he thought he was about to take over?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. It was. He probably trembling with excitement. So when Christ went to the cross and Satan fulfilled his obligation of death, he actually murdered him. Because he was absolutely innocent because he had followed God with 100% of his heart his entire life. So, because it was not a righteous killing, it was a murder. Thou shalt not kill. No, it's thou shalt not murder. It's incorrect translation. The innocent were never meant to die. Adam and Eve would have never died in the garden had they not disobeyed. As God said, the day you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. So when he was found guilty of murdering Christ, he lost his power and the powers of confinement of those who were in hell and paradise. Christ was able to take the power of death and hell from him. And we have come a long way. We're in the book of Haggai today. And Haggai is a very small book, very interesting. It just chronicles when Cyrus had told the... Babylon had taken the nation of Israel into captivity because of their own disobedience. God used Nebuchadnezzar. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, you'll see him in God's kingdom one day. Not in heaven, God's kingdom, where most of us will be. Only the best of the best get into heaven. You got to stay tuned to figure that one out. Because God's kingdom is a vast place. And only the best of the best who follow God with almost all of their hearts. Because 100% we have found is impossible. After they were taken into captivity, and you find all that in Daniel. A king or two later, Cyrus, he says, you know what, you guys go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And then Darius, during the reign of Darius, God gives the command to rebuild the temple. And that's basically what Haggai chronicles from here, chapter 1. Second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the governor of those who went back to Israel to begin the rebuilding. And he was in the line of David. So he's holding the seat of David over leadership like God had promised. Interestingly enough, that while Zerubbabel was governor, there was a council in Babylon that knew about the prophets who had said a line of David would always be on the throne. And they set up a council where a member of David's family was the head. And that was the holding pattern for God's prophetic words that a member of your family, David, will always be on the throne. And that council kept a member as head until Christ came. When Christ came and he was crucified and went to hell, he preached to those in paradise. Who was he preaching to? He was preaching to the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel accepted him as King of Kings. And he holds the position of David's throne now. And he will come back and reestablish it on this earth. And it all went exactly the way God said it would. A member of David's family was always on the throne. I know that's hard for a lot of pastors to preach. They kind of don't even want to go there because it appeared that there was not, but there was. And it's all documented, and it all went right by the book, just like it should have. So Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Oh, so the people are saying, we got our wall built back. We've established ourselves back in the land, but maybe it's not time to build the temple yet. You remember all them rules and regulations, Jonathan, that we had when the temple was there? Do we really want that back?
Yeah. Was it really helping?
Yeah. Well, I do remember the days of Phinehas. That was pretty cool, where the brothel was put next to the God's tabernacle. But those days brought calamity, and that's why they went to Babylon. And came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, your roofed houses, and this house lie waste? Oh, you guys have houses, God's saying, but my house is a wasteland? Oh. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. You guys, I brought you back. I've given you a good life, and you're very unsatisfied with everything. How many Christians are in that boat, you know?
Mm-hmm. Jaded.
Yes. Yeah. Wake up in the morning, take a breath, and your family is healthy. Be satisfied. Give the glory to God. Oh, but no, my boat is broken. Oh, well, think about what you've done in the past, because you pay for your sins in this life. And I tell you what, I can chronicle so many stories where bad things happened in my life and it clicked in my mind, oh, wow, I knew that was not a good thing to do.
Almost instantly.
Sometimes it is instantly.
Yeah.
I knew that was not good. and I had justified it in my mind, but I'm paying for it now. Oh, but Jesus paid for all yours. He paid for the spirit man to stand in front of God holy one day and without blame. Everything that you do in this life, you will pay for in this body. This body will have scars on it, mentally and physically, when it goes to the grave for the trespasses against God. You know, we often talk about the three types of sins. Sins against God, sins against your neighbor, sins against oneself. You know, a lot of our daily trespasses are against ourselves. Those are the least of all sins, because you're sinning against yourself. You know, the Bible doesn't say you can't smoke cigarettes, but are you harming your body? Yes, you are. You're sinning against yourself, and you may develop a disease. You probably get short-winded when you try to jog around the block because of this thing that you choose to do. And the only problem God has with it, because you're only harming yourself, the only problem God has with it is if it becomes an addiction. He doesn't want his people addicted to anything but him. Mm-hmm. So there is your, you know, Christians shouldn't drink. Well, some Christians handle alcohol very responsibly. And the Bible is full of his children drinking wine and other things made of corn. Yes, I know they say that distilled liquor wasn't around back then, but yes, it was. It's right here in the book.
They call it a hard drink, right?
Yes, in here? Yes. The maids will rejoice with the wine and the young men the corn.
Right. Now, another thing on the cigarettes, something interesting popped in my head that I heard from a preacher a long time ago, because I had the same question, because I smoked for 28 years.
Yeah.
I was asking the same thing, like, you know, is this going to send me? He goes, you might smell like you came from there, but it won't send you there.
No, absolutely not, you know. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. I'm not advocating for cigarettes and alcohol in any way.
Same here.
But we're trying to explain personal sins versus sins against God. Putting something ahead of God, very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And these might not be, you know, Buddha and Allah. They might be a carnal object such as a fancy sports car, you know, or your cell phone. You know, you got to be very careful what occupies all of your time. God is very jealous of your time. And then you have sins against your neighbor. He finds that very grievous also. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, you do wrong to your neighbor, God will punish you for that. But we were kind of focusing on the personal sins that affect you and your body, and the fact that you pay for your sins in this life. And those were the easiest two examples, cigarettes and alcohol, and even harder drugs. And now, if you get into addictions, that's when your personal sins can overlap against sins against your neighbor and sins against God, because you have become addicted, and you're totally not focused on God anymore, and you are causing grief and strife with your family and your neighbors. So, you know, keep the personal sins to a minimum, and do not sin against your neighbor, and do not put anything ahead of God. Verse 7, book of Haggai, chapter 1. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So God is saying, you guys have all been reestablished in the land. We have the wall rebuilt. You guys all have houses. You're well fed. You're not satisfied. Something's missing. What is missing? Oh, maybe I'm missing? Go ahead and build my house. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow up on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Oh, you're putting me last, is what God said. You know, I think Solomon built God's house first, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And while it was being built, he started his house. He couldn't wait. But in his house became a little excessive. And we've talked about that in past episodes, how excess in the Christian's life is doom. You know, all the kings of Israel dabbled in excess, and things in the kingdom were fine when they were following God with all their heart, and things were great. And then they started dabbling in carnal excesses. You know, them giant fried chicken dinners after church on Sunday. You go home and you can't even keep your eyes open all afternoon, you know? That is the gateway drug to spiritual obeseness. Too much food, Christian. Oh, well, at least I'm not on any hard drug. That will lead you down a path you don't want to go, because your spirit will go to sleep. Soon you're dabbling in the excesses of all sorts of carnal pleasures. And carnal pleasures, God never ruled out. But like Paul said, all things in moderation. Yes, go and have a good time. Yes, if you want, go and have some wine with your dinner. Absolutely. And if you can keep cigarette smoking to one or two a day, God has no problem with it. It's things that addict your life, things that stress your life, things that take your focus from Him that He has a problem with. So God's saying, you guys have everything you need, but something's missing. You're unhappy. Go ahead and build my house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn, upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of your hands. So, if you don't build my house, things are not going to be good. This is a commandment from God.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.